This is a meeting of the National Finance Committee for December 12, 2017. My name is Alex Steinberg. I am the chair of the committee. Our Paul Martin is the secretary. Harpool, can you call the roll, please?
Okay, Ken Aaron. Here. Semigarwal.
Evan.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Nick Economides.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah.
How's there?
Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Okay, that's 10. We have a quorum.
Okay. I sent out a draft agenda. Did everybody receive it?
This is Ken. For some reason, I did not receive it. I heard it was short. Could you read it?
I will be glad to read it. First item was roll call, 2 minutes. Item number two was approval of minutes, 5 minutes. Item number three, CFO report, 10 minutes. Item number four, discussion of budgets, 60 minutes. Item number five, new business, 15 minutes. And I set the adjournment time for 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm also inviting the general manager of KPFK and the business manager of KPFK to join us because I think we'll be going over the KPFK budget tonight.
Alex, this is Aki.
Yes, Aki.
Alex, I'm not a part of the committee, but I just wanted to let you know that I sent a calling call to both the GM and the business manager, so hopefully they'll be calling in.
Okay,
I just sent them a calling call. Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. We still have a few minutes before we get to that.
Who's making the motion to adopt the agenda?
Can we have a motion to adopt the agenda,
Motion to adopt the agenda, Mansoor. And I second myself. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any objections to the proposed agenda or any amendments?
Question?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
For the CFO report, will there be time for questions?
It's 10 minutes. We could extend that if we extend the 10 minutes, I think we'd have to take away time from something else. Do you want to propose an amendment? Probably we won't have too much time for questions for 10 minutes. I don't know how long the report is, though.
Well, let's see. All right, I'll make an amendment. 5 minutes of questions.
So you want to add 5 minutes to the CFO report devoted to questions. Is that correct?
Let's see. The way to put it in there, I think, is make that. We can make it like 3A or something if you want to.
3A
would
okay.
Be, questions.
Oh, I forgot to ask. Does anybody want to volunteer to be the timekeeper?
I'll do it. Which one do you want it to be done? The category or the person?
What category? We're usually pretty good about individuals not taking up too much time.
All right. I'll do the categories.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Are there any objections to this amendment? which is to add 5 minutes on, under item number 3A for questions to the CFO. Okay. Seeing no questions, no objections, then the amendment is approved. And now are there any other objections or amendments to the agenda?
Just questions, Bill.
Bill? Yes.
Which budgets are we going to be looking at? Just KPFKs?
Well, I think we should start with KPFKs, and we have several other budgets that were submitted, but as far as I know, none of the other budgets have been approved by their respective LSBs yet. KPFKs has been approved by its LSB.
Okay. I'm just wondering because, the next scheduled meeting is December 26th. I'm not sure we're even going to have that. I guess we'll talk about that later, but it's up to the committee.
Well, I believe there are at least two LSBs that will be meeting tomorrow, hopefully to approve their budgets.
Right.
So we'll definitely have something more on at the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so are there any other amendments or objections to the agenda as amended? Okay, seeing none, then the agenda as amended has been approved, and the next item of business is approval of minutes. Our call.
Okay, minutes for the November 14th meeting were posted today, so I'll move to approve the minutes of the November 14th public session.
Okay. Is there any discussion, any objections? Okay. Seeing that there are no objections, the minutes from the November 14th meeting are approved. Is that it, Art Paul?
That's it.
Okay. Then let's go on to the CFO report. Sam, are you prepared to have a report?
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. I'll be brief, actually. And because this is an open meeting, so I want to keep my comments at a high level. Because these are very challenging times, and people also have a right to know. So I definitely should talk about a few things. First, right now the option for payment of ESRT judgment is not very clear. We are definitely pursuing on the lines of a loan. And one of the broker firm is taking all the steps necessary. And we are not sure at this time how it will all progress and what will be the feasibility. So that is one item. The other issues are that national office basically now has to switch its attention to preparing for the fiscal year 16 audits, as we had diverted our resources for preparing for bankruptcy. So now we have to switch back to the routine business. So for the last almost about 10 days or so, we have been reviewing whatever statements we have received from the stations. And the checklist and the deficiency list that we had sent out, and the staff is now completely busy on that. There's one particular point that I would like to mention to the notice of NFC, and I will be sending out a detailed report to PNB also, that one of the notices that I had received at the national office is about the completion of the fiscal year 16 audit, and We had requested for a longer extension, but they have given it until February 14th of 2018. And as you know, the audit has not even started yet. So it looks pretty kind of impossible to meet the deadline, and we will definitely request for an extension, but they don't look, they are not looking good on us, like something has to change. But nonetheless, I mean, we definitely are heading in that direction, and I will be providing a more detailed assessment of where stations are lacking and what information is missing at this time. And one of the other things that I had talked to Bill Crozier, that recently we had a fundraising. The stations did a fundraising for the national office, and about $60,000 were collected. So we plan to use that to hire one contractor, especially for this purpose. And it takes about close to 3 to 4 weeks to bring somebody in and be a little bit effective on the job. So hopefully by January, if we can bring in somebody and get some special focus or special resource allocation for this, that'll be very good, because when the audit starts, there's not a single minute to spare to meet the demand.
Yes.
So that will be very, very helpful.
Okay.
And just to clarify that,
pushing a call button, just helping out on.
And just to clarify that, this we are not adding any additional say position. This is just to replace the person we had lost in June of this year. But I will be making a special request to the PNB for additional resources. Because there are two additional audits that are going on at this time, and that is one about the pension audit for the fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16, and the second audit is about the 403B. These are proving to be very complicated because we have backlog from past years, and there are different complexities about different union agreements and the retirement plan, and it is proving to be very difficult to resolve them. We don't have an in-house expert who can interpret all these terms or who can understand and who can meet the auditor's requirements. So that is, again, proving to be a big challenge. And as such, we are so short-staffed that we are stretched to the limit. So having said that, basically that is our priority, and I think that is pretty much I would like to report at this time, except that I am making a practice that I am providing a very detailed, very comprehensive reports to both PNB and at the same time copying National Finance Committee so that all the members are fully informed. Generally, these are confidential matters, so I would not suggest that they can be discussed or read in the open meeting. But at least for information's sake, every member should have all the information that is necessary. So let me stop at this point, and I can take any questions.
Before the question goes, I just want to let you know that both Christine and Barry is on the line.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sam, I have a question. I wasn't clear when you said that the 2016 audit due date is February 14th. Is that did you ask for an extension and it was turned down, or are you, or is that the original date and you're about to ask for an extension? I just wasn't clear about that.
Yeah, we had asked for a longer extension. We had asked for until May of 2018, but that was turned down because our audits were due actually this year somewhere in March. So we are already behind, and we are supposed to file our Form 990 And that is also, I mean, we have filed already on an estimated basis. So we will have to file again. So for all these things, we had requested an extension, and that was not granted. We have been given extension until February 14th of 2018.
Okay, so I assume there's no way we could possibly make that kind of a deadline with, given our current staff and everything. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
And how much? What would be the minimum we would need to actually do the audit? Would it be an extra 2 months or an extra 3 months or what?
Well, it is not really fair to anyone, including myself, actually to work at that breakneck speed, how we worked to complete the 2015 audits, because we had we were under the gun to complete that in a record time for 2.5 months. And if we use that example, I mean, the minimum that we will need is 2.5 months. But that definitely is not recommended, not really feasible, because it takes a heavy toll on people.
So is there anything we could do to get another extension?
So the action that I have thought is that we can get the audit started. So let me first step back a little bit. Before we can get the audit started, we have to upload all the documents on the website of the auditors, and they have to be complete, and they should be in an audit condition. That is the biggest challenge, because before reconciliations are done and before schedules are made, we cannot upload that on their website. So that is the process that we are going through at this time, and I don't want to single out any particular station, but there are a few stations which are quite deficient at this time, and that is will be the hold up. So at this time, I don't know what NFC or PNB can do, but I have asked those business managers to look into that. If they need additional help, additional resources, then we definitely provide those, because I fully understand that everybody is strapped for time. But what are the options? I mean, this is what the struggle is.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else with any questions?
Or Paul?
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, well, the first one is, so you're saying that they're saying do it by February 14th, and we can't do it. Okay, what if they won't give us an extension at all and we don't get it done by February 14th? What happens?
Yeah, so this happened last year when we got the cancellation notice from the Franchise Tax Board that they revoked our nonprofit status. And this can happen again. They can revoke that status. And let me clarify, there are two governing bodies here, the Franchise Tax Board and the Department of Justice, which is the Attorney General's office. And they both act separately, and they have their own deadlines, their own criteria. And each one of them can act independently of the other. And they can revoke the nonprofit status, and almost it's impossible to do business, because we cannot have the fundraising, attract dollars. Those will not be tax deductible. So that's a pretty serious consequence. I'm not hoping that will happen, because I have talked to Regalia and Associates, and they are fully on board. We will outline all the steps that we are taking, and we will have the audit in progress at that time. And most likely, we will get the extension, but we have to be very proactive on this.
I have a question, Mansoor.
Go ahead, Mansoor.
Thank you. So you said we have $60,000 and you need to, you're going to hire one person. Would that $60,000 cover the salary of the new hire? Or was that a new hire would be a replacement of the person who left us?
So the $60,000 will not be consumed in 1 month. It will be spread out over 6 to 9 months. So roughly in California, the entry-level wages now for an accounting job are about $50,000 to $60,000. We cannot get the job done with an entry-level person. So if we have to have at least a mid to senior level person, then the asking rate would be between $70,000 to $80,000. I am not expecting to hire on a regular basis, on a regular as a regular employee, because that will add about 30% in benefits. So I'm still looking for a contractor because we have to think through the staffing matters a little bit more carefully. But roughly, I mean, on an annualized basis, I'm looking for a $70,000 to $80,000 cost for one person.
But you're not going to hire him for a whole year.
Right. Like I said, that we have to look at the staffing issue very carefully because staffing is very short. And I don't want to get into details.
Sam, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase my question. Is there a possibility to hire two people for, say, 3 months that most probably you need them and be done with it? You know, so at the mid-level, it becomes like a $7,500 per person. If you're looking at $80,000 salary a year, it's a $6,500. So two people for 1 month is $13,000. For 3 months, you're looking at about $40,000.
So let me put it in a different way. That's a good question, and that's a good suggestion. What we can do, because pretty soon 2017 audits will become due. And there's so much backlog that it's just not one person who can do the job. And to be very frank, bringing a new person does not really solve the problem because it takes about at least 2 to 3 months before the person can become effective, can really contribute. So you're very right that say we can put two people at work, and by June or July next year, we can have a little bit better control on or more things in order. So definitely, I mean, we have to look into that. But I'm also concerned that when objections are raised by members of the board, what is your staffing, and those kind of things, how do we justify that? So I will put my proposal before the board, and if that is not objected, then definitely I'll go in that direction. But right now, because it's not adding another headcount, so I and Bill both agree that say, this is the best course, and we have money identified.
Well, two things. Number one, the time is up for the 15 minutes for this segment. And, okay, I'll let go of that. Time is up.
Time is up, but does anybody else have any questions? If you do, we can ask for a brief extension.
Arpal would like to ask a little something.
Does anybody want to make a motion to extend this portion for another 5 minutes?
Extend the motion to extend 5 minutes and second it.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. I think Bill was next. Go ahead.
Thanks. Well, I'll just be quick. I'll just point out that the national office really is shorthanded. And, I mean, Sam's right. There's so much catching up to do. I mean, there's major projects that take a lot of time. They've been working on this big server upgrade and migration of all the Great Plains database, because the old version has been running on obsolete hardware, and it's many generations past on software. It's a big job. When you know, we lost the controller, he resigned and went to a different employer last summer. He has been replaced. I've been, you know, pushing real strongly on all the GMs to use proven revenue budgeting like we're supposed to have been using for several years, which means, you know, don't anticipate more revenue than you're currently getting or have been getting. But the trouble is because we haven't been getting all the essential services and we're still not getting all the essential services, we just can't, we don't know how we're going to pay for people and in the national office. So they really are shorthanded, and they're not only handling, you know, the regular accounting like we've been talking about here today, but, you know, there's, of course, there's payroll, everything having to do with HR, pensions. Of course, we're catching up on the pension budget that's taken, I mean, audits, as Sam mentioned, that's taken a lot of time too, as well as the regular audits. And I mean, I see stuff every week, almost every day. People have questions, and it takes time of somebody in the national office to look stuff up and respond. So I wish we could get them some more staff, but we have to know how we're going to pay for them. And Sam and I did talk about having, you know, hiring some temp people because there's no commitment to keep them on, you know, permanently. But that does cost more. You have to, of course, you have to pay benefits if you don't use it that way anyway. But the biggest issue is getting more revenue to the national office, and they can't do it on their own. We need to help them come up with more revenue to pay for people.
I have a recommendation, but I'll wait to our poll.
Okay. I think our poll was next on the stack.
Okay. Can you give us an update on the WBAI, what's happening with the WBAI FY18 budget, and are you getting information from WBAI regarding things like revenue from various different sources?
So to answer the second question first, actually, there's a lot of work that has to be done by BI. And
Sam, you're breaking up to hear you.
Okay. So it'll be a long answer, actually. There is considerable work to be done to improve the accounting and the reporting at the WBI, but to take care of the urgent matters, we had sent one person to New York, and he has collected a lot of good information, both for fiscal year 16 audit and for the budget preparation. I had given a written update to the NFC that how we plan to complete the budgets. We had hired one contractor in LA who will complete the budget, and we are reconciling at this time the Empire State accrued rent, because that is one important thing that was missing in the books. We had not been accruing all the late fee and the finance charges and a lot of other things. So this is a whole process that we are going through at this time. Again, because we are so short-staffed that we undertake one project, but then we have to leave and we have to take up another project. So I am fully aware that BI budget is important, and I will coordinate with the contractor who had we had hired, and I will pass on all the information and try to get it completed as soon as possible. I cannot give a firm date at this time. I'll give more of an assessment in about a week or so where we are.
Okay, so, all right, but how is it looking in terms of you getting information from, like, management? Because you told us last time, which was a while ago, that the person was there and the person had gotten some information, but, you know, things keep going. That's a month ago. Anything that person got is now a month old. So I'm trying to find out if you're getting any sort of information on a weekly basis or something like that.
We will have to increase the hours of the accounting person that is working there, or we will have to hire another accounting person. That is very necessary. We need some periodic reports or some good, credible information on a very consistent basis. So unless until that happens, there will be a gap. there will be a significant gap. For now, I am trying to bridge in the gap from the national office staff, and that is pulling people into different projects. That has to change. It is the same situation with PFW and BI.
Okay. Just a final thing here to clarify. So you're saying that there's somebody at BAI who's doing the accounting, or was this the person you sent in, they did it, they came back, that you're referring to? Because I'm not aware of anybody at BAI who's doing anything like the business manager job or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. There is one person who is doing a 3-4 hours of accounting work per week, and that is not proving to be sufficient. So I had to send one person from national office for a special project. That is just to get information about certain issues that are important for fiscal year 16 audit and for the budgets. But that is a dedicated project, and that will not help in day-to-day accounting. So that is the reason why I was saying that we have to find a person at BI who can work at least maybe 15 hours per week to do the accounting work and to streamline the process and the procedures there.
Time is up for this segment.
Okay. All right. I think we should just move on to our next order of business, because we do have the general manager of KPFK and the business manager of KPFK waiting for us. So if there's no objection, I'd like to go on to the consideration of the KPFK budget. And if we have time, we'll look at some other budgets.
Okay, this is Ken. Can I motivate the budget?
Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, the budget was distributed last month. We made a minor revision to it, and that was distributed about a week ago, I think. And then the CFO made some comments about it, and he wanted some special attention put on it. So yesterday we reviewed all of the line items, and adjustments were made. I just emailed that out at about 5:05 Pacific Coast time. Basically, to summarize, the adjustments we made resulted in a positive $69,760 better net income from what we had previous to our actions yesterday. So the scene looks a little bit better. The major changes we made were, and I'm concerned about this for all of the stations, the union contracts we have at KPFK have a seniority benefit for people based on how many years they've been there. And I'm not sure what the mechanics were, but it caps at $300 a month. So the pay system is 2 checks a month. On the second check of the month, if somebody's been there, let's say 12 years, they get an extra $300. If they've been less than 12 years, it goes down. And it could go down, let me, the first or second year, maybe it's $25 a month extra. That amount of money was not, it has been being paid out, but it wasn't in the template to calculate that. So our previous budgets, prior to the one I just sent out today, didn't accommodate that expense. So we fixed that. So that was an additional cost. I didn't really tally it up because the detail work had been done. But to compensate for that added cost, we also found a lot of the board ops, we were overestimating the number of hours they were going to work. The board ops and the people who come in to help during the fund drive or to fill in when somebody's on vacation. So these estimates were corrected, lowered, and also we had in there allocated $50,000 in the fiscal year of 2018 for a new personnel called volunteer coordinator, and we just scrapped that. So this brings us then to that compensated for the seniority budget bonus, and that in fact gave us an improvement of $69,760. In comparison, one thing, and I know that the general manager is going to give you all the details on this, it has to be understood that JPFK went through a labor situation where the prior executive director and the general manager of KPFK decided to terminate the employment of certain staff and cut the salaries of certain staff, and it's to 50%, most of them. And then this was taken up in a union dispute, which we lost, so we had to pay them back the money that they weren't paid, and we had to rehire people. And there were a lot of severance packages and so forth. So the payroll in 2017 is not reflective of the payroll in 2018. It's not that we've hired lots more staff. It's that the staff have been getting paid back and getting their hours coming up from 50% to 80% to 100%. In addition, the last general manager and executive director, in the face of a hiring freeze, decided to hire somebody on contract, a programmer, and associated with that is a producer. So the net result of that is a burden, I would estimate, of over $100,000. These are burdens that there is no doorway out of immediately. So that's what we're suffering under. Fortunately, and the general manager is going to give you the details of this, she has come up with a plan that's been implemented and proven to be effective to increase the income. And this isn't pie in the sky. This is on the ground, workable, provable. It doesn't mean we're over all of the hills and valleys in front of us, but it does mean we have effective management that's increasing the income. And so that's where we're at. So if I understand Bill said that there's a theory we shouldn't create a budget based on increased income, but we have. We're basically looking at an increased income of 19 or 20% higher than last year, but we have valid motivation for making that estimate. And I personally concur with the idea that we're not going to save our way into fiscal success. We're going to have to earn our way into fiscal success. We're going to have to increase our listenership and increase our income, and also pay attention to the fact that the general manager's plan is not just increasing the income on the basis of listener sponsorship, but on the basis of unrealized additional income from other income flows. So I'm done motivating this. I think it's a sound budget. And I just want to point out, a budget, go look it up in the dictionary. It's an estimate of how you're going to spend money and how you're going to make the money that you're going to spend. It's an estimate. And it should be revised on a quarterly basis. So I think this is our best get at this time, even though we're already into the second quarter. We will be in about 15 days. I'm done talking. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Kent. Maybe we could hear from the manager of KPFK now.
Could we get the manager's name and spelling of name?
It's Christine Blosdale.
Christine Blosdale, B-L-O-S-D-A-L-E, interim general manager since, I believe it would be the end of February, the beginning of March. So it would be March 1st. It should be known that I was under the impression at that time that my management taking over the reins at that time would only be possibly a few weeks, but it's been quite some time. It's been about 9 months. And I'm very, very, I'm very pleased with how the station has turned around. I'm very pleased with the energy, the mood. It's quite different now than it was under previous management, and I'm very proud of the staff that they have also risen to the occasion and have done tremendously well. the fund drives that we've had, the last fund drive, the last long fund drive that we had that went throughout the month of October, we had a goal, I believe it was 600 or 650. I'm driving in traffic in L.A., so I apologize, and I was not prepared for this meeting, but I wanted to jump on the call. We surpassed the stated goal and raised well over 700, and I believe it was 750,000. Ken, you may have the numbers for that. I'm not certain. But we did not only meet our goal, but we surpassed that.
Chris,
we're currently in a mini. Yes.
Is it possible? I don't want to you to put yourself in jeopardy over a phone call. Is it possible if you can just pull over somewhere for 5 minutes?
Oh, no,
well,
I'm okay.
We are trained in Southern California. Yeah.
The traffic is so bad that I'm only going 5 miles an hour, so we're good.
Yeah, and
okay.
Plus, you should know we are trained to talk and drive in California now.
All right.
My day-to-day, I've been multitasking all day, so it's okay. We are currently in the midst of a mini holiday fund drive to make sure that we have to shore up enough money so that we can get through to the beginning of February, where we'll have a longer winter fund drive. If you've been paying attention to what's happening in California, we've been absolutely devastated by massive fires. Many of our signal areas have been impacted. I live in Ventura County. Ventura has been hit very hard, and the fires broke out right when we started our fund drive. And it's reflective in our fund drive totals, where as most of the time we would be close to our $30,000 goal, like $27,000, $28,000. We're a bit behind. And I know it's a direct reflection of these fires that are just popping up all over the place, people being displaced, et cetera. So I've decided to extend the fund drive. It was going to end on Friday, but I'm extending it a few days so that we can make up for that. That said, It was important to go back over the budget. I thought that the salary and personnel numbers that Barry had been given were correct, but then upon closer inspection, they were, as Ken mentioned, many of them were wrong. They were much higher than they actually are. So we did that. The thing that I want to impress upon this board and this group is that when I came into the station as interim general manager, I have been an employee of Pacifica for 15 years, senior producer, responsible for millions and millions and millions of dollars raised during the fund drive. The shows that I do have raised millions of dollars, but I was a union steward, and I know Pacifica very well. I know the station very well. What I inherited from the previous management was not good. When we look at the budget from 2017, the manager before me had allotted, there were positions in there. She did not put in the position of this particular programmer that she decided to hire. She decided to hire this person on a contractual basis, so at a very high salary. Then that programmer also demanded a producer, as the other hosts have producers, so that was the added cost of that. Those two positions were not in the budget. Also, she had eliminated the webmaster. In 2017, she eliminated the webmaster for most of the year. That position and the webmaster, the money that's generated through our website during fund drives is very substantial. To give you an idea,
$38,000.
To give you an idea, the previous manager, during a fund drive, the previous manager decided to become the webmaster. The shopping cart during the fund drive would net approximately $7,000, maybe, if that. With the current webmaster, who knows how to do these things, we had, like Mansoor has said, $38,000 come in from the website. So upon my coming in, part of also the union negotiation and the agreement was we had to hire back that webmaster. So I had that added expense of personnel. I also had the, as my very first day there, she had decided to lay off our IT, our head IT, Jonathan, who is, if this if Jonathan was not there, the station would not run. He takes care of all of our computers, our phones, all of our software, all of our email. I don't know what she was thinking of doing. Maybe getting a temp, maybe getting, I don't know. But that position also was not to be included in the budget. And so my first day back, he had his severance check. He was ready to go. And I said, please, Jonathan, don't go. And he said he would tear up that severance check. So that was also the added expense of Jonathan, which I will stand by that, is he's worth every single penny, as National knows, because they have used him as well to help out in their technical issues. So my personnel costs are much higher, but it's not because I've hired a bunch of people. I didn't have any new hires. It's what I was left with, and making the prudent decision as far as the webmaster is concerned to make sure that we are generating some kind of money coming in. I also was able to, over the last few months, dealing with these pensions, I also was someone who did not receive my pension for 2 years. So, of course, it was important for not only to get the staff their pension, but it's a legal obligation and liability for the station to make sure that the pension's paid. I have stowed away and saved money, and I have the money for those pensions, that missing pension. I have that money saved away and ready to go. We're just working now through a way to get it to people's accounts. So as far as the changes in the budget and also justifying the increases, there's some things that we've done, some strategies that I've done during Fund Drive that have proven very successful. We're implementing those currently. We just started those, and those help our daily averages, especially with Amy Goodman's hours. We've done a very strategic thing with those shows. And also we have a media sponsorship, a community outreach and media sponsorship person that works at the station who is getting several thousand dollars a month in media sponsorship for promotion of concerts and live events and things like that. That's a revenue stream that's coming in. The other revenue stream that I would like to implement, although I don't know how long I have there because there is also a general manager search committee that is has handed off some suggestions of candidates to the executive director. So this would be the next general manager's decision on what they can do and what they want to do. But there is the great potential in Los Angeles to rent out the studios for not only filming television, movies, but also to use the studios for podcasts and radio interviews and to have revenue come from that. The building is open. We're operating 24 hours a day. Why aren't we making money on rentals from the facility for filming? So those are some of the implementations that I would like to see. But again, come 2018, if there's a new general manager, that will be they'll be their own ideas and things that they can implement. But that was some of the justification. And I can take your questions if you have any.
Yeah, Sam on the stack.
Nick Arena on the stack.
Ken on the stack.
Or Paul.
Mansoor as well, please.
Alex, you there?
Yeah, I was muted. Who announced themselves as the first person on the stack? I missed that.
Sam.
Okay, go ahead, Sam.
My questions will be long, and I don't know how much time I will be given. But
30 seconds. I'm just joking, that's all.
Yeah, I will not be able to cover. So, Christine, I do appreciate. I mean, the hard work that you have done is very commendable. And I do agree that you have been given and kind of an impossible situation when the revenue stream has not been identified, but the personal cost is kind of cast in stone. So how do you balance the checkbook? But let me address some of the accounting issues that definitely need to be fixed. I have not had a chance to look at the budgets because the revised budget, but I don't think that corrections have been made. So one is that I had noticed that the health benefits were decreasing by 70,000 in the previous version of the budget, and I cannot understand when the personal cost is increasing by 480,000 about, how can the health benefits decrease? My second question is, the depreciation expense was decreasing by about 38,000, and I had asked for a depreciation schedule because I cannot understand how the depreciation can decrease so much. And especially if I look at the one of the LSB report that you and Barry had put out, that you are investing in the business. The third question is that the pension contributions or the retirement contributions, they are going up by 104,000, and that seems to be an incorrect accounting because looks like that you are adding on the cost of the unpaid pension obligations. But the thing is that these have already been accounted for in past year's budgets, so that cannot be included in this year's budget. So lots of these kind of accounting issues definitely have to be fixed. Now, on a broader level, I would say that I just cannot understand how we can increase the revenue by 20%. Probably Bill will go in more detail, so I don't want to take up too much time. We just cannot burden a station for the fundraising efforts so much that probably there may be no juice left. I mean, if I can say that for future years. So. We have to think through how we balance the budget and come to some kind of a reconciliation, both in terms of numbers and in our mind, in our understanding of where we are going. So let me stop at this point.
Okay. I think Nick was next. Nick Arena.
Yes, thank you.
Should let someone answer the questions? I'm sorry.
Well, let's take two or three at a time, and then we can get some answers. Okay.
Okay. So I'll make my brief to Christine. Nice to meet you. One specific question I have is on the revenue side. WPFW has been paying roughly $6,500 in the last couple of pledge drives to you. For programming that you provide and that you provide pitches to the local station for contributions. And I'm wondering if the income, that $6,500 that we pay, is income that goes to the station and if there's any margin in any of the premiums that are provided. And is that part of the revenue that that your station is recognized?
No, that the work that I do for other stations to bring in the donations, the money that comes in from the fund drive, that is separate, and that was an arrangement I had made with my managers, with the executive director and Sam, that I was able to do that. Otherwise, those stations, there's a few stations throughout the network that would not be getting the tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars that they do get during Fund Drive. They would not be getting those unless they had access to those shows. So that is something that I provide personally.
Christine, do you want to respond to Sam's questions while you're rushing?
Yes, I think it would be really helpful, especially because of the fact that I will be leaving out of country on Friday. If Sam, if you, myself, Barry, and Ken can do some type of conference call and to go over those particular concerns, because with emails going back and forth, I think it'd be much, much easier if we can address, in particular, like the pension issue. I didn't realize. You have to also realize that not only am I managing the station and dealing with all the different emergencies that come up, but I'm hosting shows during the fund drive. I'm producing myself and hosting shows during the fund drive as well. So if we could sit down and go over that, the money that is still owed on the pensions for the 2 years, if that's included in what we're considering as debt for the pensions, yes, that has to be taken off because I have that money has been secured. But I would really like to have the ability to have you, myself, Barry, and Ken, or you, myself, and Barry, go through that and go through every single question that you have and adjust it. My other looking at it, you know, realistically, if we're talking that obviously we have to do cuts, if we have to do cuts in expenses, we're not going to be able to cut an expense as far as the transmitter or our general bills that we have. We can't stop paying the phone. We can't stop paying the electricity. So what that leads me to is staff cuts. And if we're talking about staff cuts, that means going through the union and doing layoffs. So if you're prepared to do layoffs or if you're prepared to have me institute layoffs, then there's a whole process that has to happen, and we have to open up our books and make that move. I don't want to do that, but again, I inherited a very bloated staff from the previous general manager who did not include people and who I believe hired people inappropriately, but that's my own personal judgment. So if we need to talk layoffs, I'll be happy to talk layoffs, but just understand that I'm also under the gun. I'm only here a couple days before I leave out of country until the first of the year.
Who was next on the stack?
Our Paul was one. There was somebody else.
Mansoor was last. There
okay.
Was
Arpal
and one more per Ken.
It's Arpal, Ken, and Mansoor.
Okay. Arpal, Ken, you're next.
Okay. I'm looking at the that what's been submitted here, and I've got the KPFK FY2018A4. And I've got budget evaluation, and I've got budget. But each of these is a single sheet, a single tab in a spreadsheet, and we usually get a whole bunch more tabs than this. So I'm wondering if this is, like, preliminary, and we're going to get the usual pretty big spreadsheet with lots of tabs, or what's happening with that. Okay.
I think that should be addressed by Barry.
I'll defer that to Barry.
Once the budget has been preliminary approved by the consolidated sheet, then you'll get all the rest of the backup information like salaries, health benefits, you know, unemployment insurance, and all that.
What's your last name that I can...
My name is Barry Brooks.
Brooks,
is my last name.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I should have introduced you, Barry.
That's okay.
I apologize.
Okay, so you're saying that we'll get this once they're approved at KPFK?
Right. Uh-huh. There's like 9 pages of support documentation.
Right. I mean, there are also things like the personnel lists and all of that stuff. I mean, there's a lot that goes with it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
So, may I interject here for a second?
Well, I think Ken is next on the stack.
Yeah, I'll wait. Go ahead, Ken.
I just wanted to point out that I'm not sure about the compensation, but Jonathan has been doing double duty maintaining some of the equipment and functionality at the national office, and he gets pulled off of... duties at KPFK, and so I don't know if that's what the compensation is on that, but that's just an extra function, just to bring that out. And one other thing was that what I thought was significant as a notation for other stations is Christine is also planning to raise the calculation of a premium's cost. Which has generally historically been 10 times.
Not cost, contribution.
Yeah, the contributions. Yeah, not the cost, but So if some costs a dollar, we normally evaluate it as $10 as a premium. And we're going to raise that to maybe $12. So it's increasing the turnover. It's inching up on the income.